Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Karen Warren, and today on the show, we have Adam Moskowitz, the host and organizer of Cheesemonger Invitational, also known as CMI. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Karen, for having me. I really appreciate you and Cutting the Curd.
Oh, well, you're the best. I'm curious, are you excited for CMI this fall? Like, how psyched are you? This is the first in-person Cheesemonger Invitational in how many, 2 years, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, a year. Yeah. First of all, I don't even, time is just really strange nowadays. I don't think I've ever been more excited for a CMI than I am for this one. The last CMI we did in person was CMI in San Francisco in 2020. So I guess it's going to be almost 2 years by the time we do this event, yes.
Oh my goodness. And do you think cheesemongers are ready to come back to CMI? What is the vibe from the cheesemonger circuit?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, ready, definitely. I think who isn't ready for some social interaction? So far, we've got about 20 cheesemongers signed up. And it's the cheesemongers are signing up from all over the country, which is a really pleasant surprise. I thought it was going to be very geo-based. And the sense I'm getting is like extreme excitement, actually. We did two online events that really kind of kept the vibe flowing. But this go around, I have a feeling it's going to be like similar to CMI Chicago in that like I'm purposely, due to COVID, not pushing for a large public facing event. So this is hopefully going to be a very intimate and very professional gathering.
So are there, for the cheesemongers listening to this episode, are there any like certain precautions because of the whole pandemic that you guys are taking to help make them feel safer?
Very much so. So in order to participate, you have to either show proof of vaccination or have a negative PCR test within 72 hours of entry. We're also going to have temp checks at the entrance. And those things combined, I think, are going to be currently our safety measures. Now that's for, so like basically, well, a couple things. One, very excited for this CMI. We're doing not one, but 2 days of education, because education really is the cornerstone of this event. And it's also where the most community building occurs. For that, you know, we're very safe at my warehouse and we have airflow, et cetera. For the public facing event, what we've done is that we've reduced the occupancy to approximately 30%. So we're going to have a tremendous amount of social distancing available, and we're going to also follow, obviously, any protocols that New York City puts down as it relates to public gatherings.
Great. Very cool. And then in terms of actual competition, are there any new nuances to the competition, or can we divulge any trade secrets about the competition right now just for those extra special listeners? Or
totally.
What do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, well, first of all, I really am trying my best to stay away from the word competition because I'm realizing competition might scare people away. I appreciate what you're saying. What I'm trying to call them now is challenges. Because what I really want to try to convey to the cheesemongers out there is that this really isn't a competition. It's a community building exercise coupled with the cheesemonger obstacle course. And the obstacle course is filled with challenges that are related to your daily work. And we don't judge people. We simply score people and you get your feedback. And I think this is a really important thing to note. What I've noticed is that cheesemongers that score less than they desire or wish ultimately come back and wind up knocking it out of the park. My point is it's not the people that win feel great. The people that don't win but get their feedback, get inspired, come back, and then kick butt. Because of our online experience, we're going to add a social media component. I think social media food styling and social media marketing is a really important aspect of being a cheesemonger in today's world. So that's going to be integrated into our new experience. And then we're also, for the finals, we're adding some, or better stated, evolving some of the rounds that we did in San Francisco. So for the cut round, for example, there's going to be like a speed cut and then a cut to order where I'm basically going to announce a weight that I want you to cut, and you're going to have to do that in real time. Then there's going to be a speed wrap where it's going to be the same type of cut piece that you're going to wrap in a time frame. And then there's going to be the beauty wrap where we're going to give you very challenging pieces of cheese and you're going to have to wrap them.
Oh my God. I am very excited about all those new ideas because I wish I could do them myself right now. That is like one of the proudest things I know for most mongers is to wrap a cheese and make it look like glasses on it. So I am stoked to see that. And so will this also be viewable online? Like, will there be cameras and things for people if they are not able to see it in person, or can they watch it later somehow?
Great question. I'm still working out those details, but my ambition is yes. I my dream is to have some sort of like robot iPad walking around and like allowing a viewpoint as if you are in the audience. That's my dream. I haven't figured that out yet. But at the very least, we're definitely going to have a video going on, and it will either be live or posted to our website later.
I feel like Instagram Live might even pull it off now that I'm just like kind of brainstorming with you. Like how they have all those music shows, like the Versus stuff online, maybe. And then like people could applause and heart things as they're happening in action. I don't know. Anyway, I just came to mind.
That is an amazing idea. And I actually think we're going to do that. I think that's the solution.
Yes. Okay. Win for all cheese people right now. Like we have figured out some technology, which is not always my strong point, but I'm really glad that I could contribute to CMI a little bit.
you've contributed in many ways. You are a shining example of why I love CMI so much. I remember your first go at this, and by being a part of it, I've been able to watch you grow, break out of your shell, and become a true voice and stalwart of cheesemonger evolution in this game.
I
applaud you, and I really am grateful for the work that you're currently doing with Cutting the Curd and ECME.
Very kind of you. But you do all the work. You do the true coordinating and organizing. And just for the listeners out there, I did stress myself out enough to do it three times, the Cheesemonger Invitational. Each time was an amazing experience.
How would you describe it? I'm sorry. How would you describe your CMI experience?
Foundational to create a network of cheese industry professionals that I now know forever. And that to me is like the signature point about the Cheesemonger Invitational. The educational rounds before are definitely groundbreaking in the way they give you a layer to some cheeses that you already know. But then to actually meet other people like yourself, because I think as a cheesemonger, there's a lot of otherness because you're doing something that most people don't do. But then you meet other people that are like you, and it's like, oh my God, I'm not alone. There are other people who love cheese just as much as me and have that special passion. It's wonderful. And to know those people now years later is exactly just, it's been wonderful. So I'm very thankful to you, Adam, for pulling this together, because there's never been anything like it. I don't know if anyone will ever be able to replicate it, because it is it has its place, and it is special to the Northeast and now the West Coast and Chicago. So for cheesemongers out there, it's just a way to be integrated more into a really awesome industry, is how I feel about it. What do you think? Pretty good?
I think that's great. I mean, to me, CMI is like the Terracine of cheese, in that like there are other cheese industry related events, but it's rather populated. Whereas for us, especially during the education days, we're all just together. It's a limited group and they all share the same career, the same passion, but come from all varied aspects of cheesemongering, from the small cut to order cheese shop to the national conglomerate, and being able to bounce off each other while learning from some of the best and brightest cheese luminaries in the industry is nothing short of amazing. It's very rare to get the unfettered access that as a cheesemonger you're able to get at CMI when talking to a Matteo Keller, a Jason Hines, and the people of that nature, while at the same time getting to speak to cheesemongers that are from every part of the U.S. And then for the competition itself, again, the challenge is it's stressful, but it's like good stress. Mm-hmm. And it's healthy stress. It's inspiring stress. And the thing I like most is when cheesemongers talk to me about how they, with their fellow cheesemongers in their shop, work together to prepare them. And that to me is the coolest part, is that like rising tides raises all ships, and having people behind you, encourage you, inspire you, and work together with you to get better at what you do is what it's really all about, right? There's no such thing as perfection in this world. All we could do is work for progress. And that to me is the cornerstone of CMI. Watching cheesemongers progress is just the greatest gift that I've been able to get for myself professionally. I could earnestly say that during the perfect beverage, perfect plate, and perfect bite rounds, I cry every single time. And I cry at tears of joy, because to see American cheesemongers elevate cheese in terms of how it looks, how it's composed, the flavor combinations, and just the overall creativity really, truly brings me to tears.
Oh my goodness. Okay, guys. Well, on that note, Adam, I'm going to leave you in tears for just a second. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return with some other really interesting. I have a question about fancy food, so we're going to get right back. All right, everyone, you're listening to Cutting the Curd. I have Adam Moskowitz with me, and we'll be right back.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Conte Cheese Association. Conte Cheese Association represents the Conte PDO, Conte Protected Designation of Origin, in the USA. Conte is a raw milk cooked pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Conte within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Conte. Conte takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineur on average, each wheel of Conte is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Conte is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Conte is unique. Learn more about Conte, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at conte-usa.com. That's conte-usa.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Cutting the Curd. I'm your host, Kara Warren, and I have Adam Moskowitz of Cheesemonger Invitational on the show with me today. Adam, how did you feel when Fancy Food Show was canceled the other day? Did that make or break you? What was your vibes on that? I mean, that was a stunner for me a little bit, but also kind of expected.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to my personal journey and recovery, I try to practice equanimity on a daily basis. So, you know, I'm living life on life's terms, and I'll take whatever curveballs are thrown my way. Frankly, I was a bit surprised that Fancy Food Show decided to try and do their event at the beginning of Q4. I found that to be a bit surprising. I also, you know, generally speaking, personally, have already been suspect to the business efficacy of participating in that event. I personally used to do like 40-foot booths, and then I did a 20-foot booth, and I stopped doing a booth. So personally, I find that it to have strayed away from the artisan cheese world that I inhabit. And then COVID happened, and COVID not participating in those events, but at the same time, being successful in my business allowed me to start seeing that maybe that experience wasn't vital to my business. I frankly was happy that they decided to do it, because it lit a fire under my butt to actually get a CMI New York going. And then when I found out it was canceled, definitely for a minute I was like, ooh, okay. whoa, what am I going to do here? And it just allowed me to kind of sit and reflect on what CMI is really all about. And what I came to realize is that CMI grew up in the shadow of a fancy food show. It's what that Fancy Food Show brought people from all over the world together, and then I was able to piggyback that to CMI. But, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but CMI, this is basically going to be our 10-year anniversary. We missed it in 2020. So this is going to be our 10-year anniversary. I actually believe, and I'm excited to see, if CMI can live on its own. When we went to CMI Chicago, we didn't have a fancy food show to attach ourselves to. And frankly, it was one of the best events we've ever had. It wasn't as large, but, you know, as somebody who's short, I often say it's not the size that matters. And that's what I learned with CMI Chicago, that those that show up to that CMI were those that were really deeply, sincerely passionate about the event, the people at the event, and what we were doing. And so for me, I'm actually in an odd sort of way super excited to do this event without Fancy Food Show, because it's going to be an opportunity for me and my team and those that participate to see who's down with CMI, right? It's like, you know, I want to sing that OPP song. But I'm, you know, the cool thing, Zoom is an equalizer. And what I mean by that is that for the education days, I'm going to be able to Zoom in European partners, domestic partners. So it's going to be interactive, engaging, if not partially virtual, for the education days. And so we proved through Meet Me Online and Flattening the Curve that that is a feasible solution. So for me, I'm actually kind of excited to not have to deal with the stress and the additional work that comes with the Fancy Food Show, allowing me and my team to simply focus on CMI. So to be blunt and short, I'm not surprised it canceled. I really had no interest in going to the Jacob Javits Center to see candy and the various other things that occur at the Fancy Food Show, and now can just simply focus on CMI.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this materializes. And I also love how technology has brought it up another level. I heard amazing things about the virtual charcuterie competition that you did. I'm glad to see that this is kind of bringing a new wave to, because a decade is a long time. Congratulations and mazel tov on that.
Thank you. Yes, CMI's all grown up.
I can't wait to see its bar mitzvah.
It's a tween. Neither can I. you know, the interesting thing now, the decisions that we need to really think about now is what are we going to do with San Francisco? Because as of right now, the Fancy Food Show is stating that they're going to go back to San Francisco. And so I have to very quickly decide whether we're going to try to do a San Francisco event. I very much want to. And so, and that, oddly enough, they put the flag on the ground for that to be in January. So they were going to do a beginning Q4 and then an immediate one thereafter in Q1. I kind of feel like it's a good thing for Fancy Food Show that they canceled the Q4 one, because it might actually allow for some better momentum in Q1. Hopefully, the United States population can get behind further vaccination, and ideally we'll be able to come back to San Francisco in January as Cheesemonger Invitational to just keep the ball rolling.
As the whole industry is looking forward to it. I mean, we all need to be back in real life, not just on our Zoom. So I'm also looking forward to that.
And Kara, and that's why I'm doing CMI New York. You know, like there is a part of me that's like, oh my God, is this in bad taste that we're doing CMI New York, given what's going on in the world? And I've decided that the reward is worth the risk. And what I mean by that is that I can only speak for myself. I'm a social being. I need to be around my people. It's been long enough. I need to be around my people. I personally am vaccinated. My wife and I have kids. My wife is very, very COVID cautious and inspired me to be the same. We're going to be very vigilant about being COVID careful. But for those out there that are starving for some cheese intimacy, are looking for some community building, are looking to hang their hat on something that is exciting, is fun, and is potentially worthy of good news, come join us, man, because we're ready to cut some cheese.
Oh yeah, for sure. I have one more fun question for you, Adam, because I don't know the beginnings of this. Your alternate personality during CMI is Mr. Moo. What is the origin story to Mr. Moo?
The origin story to Mr. Moo is that my wife, for some, I don't know about you guys, but once you're in the cheese business, everybody in the world wants to give you cheese related gifts, whether it's a mug, whether it's a shirt, whether it's socks. We get all the cheese related gifts and we get all the cheese related memes. And so my wife for Hanukkah got me a cow onesie. And then one day, out of my mind, as I used to be often, thought it would be hilarious to don a cow costume on stage in front of everybody, because I really – At the party finals of CMI, I'm yet to experience something quite like it, in that like the room is just is electric with excitement and enthusiasm for the cheesemonger. So I thought being in a cow costume would just really kind of amp up the vibe. And so Mr. Moo was born. And then as a hip hop guy, I came up with the chant Moo Ba Ma, and then all of a sudden everybody would actually chant Moo Ba Ma with me. And once Mr. Moo was born, he's too legit to quit. And for the record, I don't often speak about him because I don't know what you're talking about. I really personally, I'm like, you know, Bruce Wayne does not talk about Batman. Mm-hmm. And if I understand correctly, are you saying that there's a grown man that dresses up as a cow in front of his colleagues and peers in the cheese business? Is that what you're saying?
You know, you're right. I've never seen this Mr. Moo before. I've only heard of his myth. So I
just think that's just really weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird. So a grown man dresses up like a cow in front of adult people that are professionals. For real? That sounds crazy.
Must be urban legend.
It has to be. It sounds like the Easter Bunny or something.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cool.
Only rumored around the Fancy Food Show timings, and now may pop up whenever he wants to.
Well, so the interesting thing is that like this myth of a Mr. Moo, what happens often is that when people meet me, they're like, so are you going to put on the cow costume? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And like, they think that, like, you know, I guess they think that, like, on any random occasion, I'm like ready to rock a cow onesie. And I've really, 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 really worked hard at making sure that I, Adam Moskowitz, am separated from this notorious adult Moo Man, because it's just not normal, just weird. Just yeah. So
Mr. Moo, you weren't on a magazine cover with it, were you? Am I imagining that?
Did I was not on a magazine cover with it, but I have been in the Wine Spectator in it. I've been in the Wall Street Journal. I'm on the masthead of the Wall Street Journal in a cow costume next to the Pope.
Oh my God.
Talk about life goals. Actually, and shout out to my boy, Doug Jacknick. In general, shout out to my team that helps make this happen. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that really make this happen. Shout out to my hosts that make this happen. I actually have gone through many cowbells, trying to find the right cowbell for Mr. Moo. And one of my trips to Bavaria, I found the most amazing cowbell and then couldn't find it. And I'm pleased to report that a couple of days ago, as we started preparing the materials for CMI, I walked into my office and my favorite cowbell was on my desk. I literally felt like a kid. I felt like the day of Christmas, like when you wake up and like you see the tree, the presents above, under the tree. That's what it felt like when I saw my cowbell.
I love that you're saying this as a man who I know is Jewish, but I will also say it's destiny. So props. Well, Adam, I just want to say a super thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate all your love and support. And CMI does not happen without individuals like you. Everybody listening, you're the one who makes CMI happen. Me and my team do our best to facilitate, but CMI is really about the people. It's not about us.
Awesome. You said it well, Adam. If people want to follow the Cheesemonger Invitational on Instagram, is it at Cheesemonger Invitational?
At the Cheesemonger Invitational.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I want to wish you a very happy Mubama. And I want to say to all the listeners out there, please follow them on Instagram at the Cheesemonger Invitational. You can follow us at The Cutting the Curd or myself at Kara Warren. And please listen to subscribe to Cutting the Curd via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks, and eat more cheese.
See ya.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.